So in this episode, as a little preview, I was inspired for this episode because of a visit I had to the Central Valley. And it was during this visit that I was helping on an initial visit to look at the teams that were in place and not analyze those teams, but come up with a plan to help those teams to be more effective and, more importantly, more productive and more targeted with the work they were doing. And it was when I was reflecting with Coco after this visit that I realized something phenomenal that I never thought of before. You know, you see, like everybody else, I went to teacher school. And I graduated from teacher school. And then I went to principal school, right? And did fine and graduated from principal school. But it was my time as a player, a basketball player, point guard to be specific, that really started to teach me what I needed to know about being an educator. That was only elevated exponentially when I became a head coach. Because you see, the mindset of a head coach is not about what talent do I have on the team. It's how do I put every single player on this team in the best possible scenario, the best situation to move the team forward? How do all of these parts come together to play music? And that music has to be the best music. And so it wasn't ever good enough that we won a game. We were putting together teams that were going to build championships. And so as I was looking at this school, it dawned on me that at the core of success at every team, at the core of the success of every school, is the strategy that's in place, the focus and the game plan that that team is moving with. So we need to be clear here. When we set goals as teachers, those goals should be set for ourselves to get better as a team so that we can provide the best education for these kids that we're serving. And that is what today is about. On today's show, Coco and I are going to take you on the road, and we're going to look at an initial visit with some of these teams, and we're going to see if maybe some of those things might be happening at your school. And if they are, we're going to give you some tools so that you are in a position to help those teams be more effective and move forward, just as we did here in the Central Valley. So with that said, I'm going to have Coco bring us into the intro. Welcome to the show.
Ever wonder what it takes to truly transform a school's learning environment and culture? Well, stick around, because today we're diving into how Coach Eddie and KnowledgeBorn are making waves in schools by boosting instruction, culture, and leadership, all with measurable results. I'm your host, Coco.
And I'm your other host, Coach Eddie. And this is On the Road with Coach Eddie and Coco. It's a different type of podcast for a different type of audience. You see, I travel across the country working with schools to change education and to find better learning outcomes for our kids and for our staff. How is this different? I basically have taken my notes from the many visits across the country and I put them into a journal. That journal is then shared with an AI compadre, and her name is Coco. Coco takes these notes, puts them into a summary, and makes them accessible for all of us. So it's like we're sitting in the room on the front lines as the change is happening. And so if you're a principal, or you're a team lead, or just somebody interested in making a change in education, you've come to the right place, because we're going to show you what it looks like on the front lines. Take our examples, take your own knowledge, and put them into place starting tomorrow. And that is what it's like to be on the road with Coach Eddie and Coco. Welcome. And here we are on the road with Coach Eddie and Coco. And bear with us today. It's our first podcast and it might have a couple hiccups, but Coco and I, we've got along really well and chemistry is good. And if you're wondering how this came about, I'm just going to briefly tell you every educator should be in the business of reflection. And what I started doing not too long ago is taking my journals and putting them into an AI format and started chatting with that format, which in the beginning we talked about as my compadre, Coco. And I quickly learned that that interaction has allowed me to see things that I didn't see when I was on those front lines. And so the reflection, I think, became something that I thought, not only can I share what I'm doing at these schools with folks, Coco can summarize, see things that maybe I didn't think of, and then I come back, provide a little color commentary, and we move forward. So with that said, you know, we're moving forward today, and we're going to start with teams and Coco's analysis of those teams. And so we're going to kind of see what today's about and ask Coco to get started.
Today, we're talking about the art and science of effective team collaboration in educational settings, how teams can use norms, roles, and smart processes to make real progress, especially when it comes to improving student learning. Let's start with a story. Imagine a team meeting where everyone talks, but only a few voices really get heard. The rest, they stay quiet, maybe nodding along, but feeling invisible. Later, in the hallway or by the copy machine, those quiet folks grumble, "Nobody listens to us." Sound familiar? It's a classic dynamic that can kill team morale and productivity. One quick fix: establish a norm where everyone gets a set amount of time, say 30 seconds, to speak on an issue before the group votes and moves on. This simple rule ensures every voice is heard and validated. It's like giving everyone a microphone for a moment, so no one feels like their ideas are just floating in the ether. Plus, it speeds up decision-making and keeps the meeting on track. Now, you might ask, why do we need norms? Can't people just be respectful and listen? Sure, in an ideal world, but norms are especially useful when teams hit a speed bump or barrier. They're like guardrails that keep conversations productive and inclusive. And when everyone agrees on the norms, it's easier to call out when someone's not following them without it turning into a drama fest.
And so that's where we start today. The idea of norms and how those norms can really affect a team and their ability as a team to move forward. When I was speaking with this principal and looking at these teams, there's something else that's coming in a minute that Coco was able to see. But we tend to start as teams with this idea of we have to have these norms. And they're great in the beginning, you know, but when we're in the beginning, many times we come up with norms with best intentions. Some of these norms become predictable. Things like we start on time, we end on time. We're free of distractions and devices. The one I like to call the Vegas rule, you know, what happens in the meeting stays in the meeting. And while these are all good foundations, I think what a lot of teams forget and what we started to see in some of these teams is, do you take the chance to revisit the norms 3 months, 6 months later? Because norms, while they are helpful, where they have their power is when we're reflecting and we find out that we've hit a barrier, and that barrier is being caused by behaviors or distractions. We need to stop and say, do we need to develop a norm to address those behaviors and distractions? And so while norms are great in the beginning, they're not nearly as effective as if we are creating those norms as we go along and hit these barriers. Examples that I've seen And in this particular school, what we were seeing was there were some folks that dominated conversations. It's like there's no stop clock. And there's other folks that wouldn't talk at all. And what we don't see is, as Coco was mentioning, at the copy machine or at the water cooler or wherever it might be, the person who never talks is always complaining that they're never heard. And the people who talk too much are always complaining that they never hear from anybody else. And so sometimes, as a team, we should look at each other and say, maybe it's time for a norm. We hear from everybody in the meeting. Better yet, we hear equally from everybody in the meeting. And so we've done this where we have said, when we're ready to discuss, it's 30 seconds. And you can't just say, I agree with so-and-so. We want to be heard. We want to be seen. More importantly, we want to make sure that our behaviors do not continue. And that is the value of the norms. When you reflect and you hit a speed bump, you hit a wall, you hit a barrier, it's time for a norm. And so as we continue, Coco was observant in some of these other areas. Let's see what else she had to say. Coco.
Another key insight from the team meetings I've observed is the importance of how people physically arrange themselves. Picture this: two teachers sitting with their backs to each other, one hiding behind a desk, the other facing away. It's a subtle but powerful message that says, I'm not really here to engage. Contrast that with a circle where everyone faces each other, making eye contact, reading body language, and truly connecting. Which setup do you think fosters better collaboration? Exactly. And here's a nugget for all the team leads out there. Standing behind a desk during meetings can unintentionally create a power dynamic that stifles questions and challenges. When you're literally behind a barrier, it's harder for others to feel comfortable pushing back or offering alternative ideas. So, if you're leading a team, try stepping out from behind the desk and into the circle.
Wow. Who would have thought, right? Try stepping out from behind the desk and step into the circle. You know, one of the things that we noticed when we were here was that the makeup of the room is either set up for discourse or set up for just meeting. And when we had teachers, normally a lead, standing behind a desk, operating the technology, many times saying, look, I've already done the work. What we don't realize is behind that desk, whether it's a kid or whether it's a teacher, that desk is a place of social capital. And that is the person who's in charge in the room. When we saw other teams where the leader was sitting with the team and they were remotely engaging, or the recorder was the person behind the desk, we were able to see that there was a visual comfort where everybody felt equal. And don't think for a minute that the desk is the only problem. We literally saw some of these members that were sitting with their backs facing each other. And nothing says, I don't care about kids more than I don't want to work with this person, even if it's going to help kids. And so we need to address those behaviors. They're subtle. People don't want to look people in the eye. You know, when we're meeting and it's essential standards and student learning at stake, we need to all be facing each other. That's where the accountability is. It's also where the comfort level is. If we can't get along, fine. But we should be able to be in the same room, look each other in the eye, and have the same purpose. Have the same purpose for 50 minutes or an hour, however long you meet. And so that was a good thing that we were able to pick up on right away. And once again, this is something, if you're a principal or a lead or you're on a team and you're listening to this podcast today, you can go to your meetings tomorrow and say, there's two things we can jump on right away that are going to allow us to be a better team than we were yesterday. Coco, what else you got?
It's amazing how much that small change can open up dialogue. Now, let's talk about the purpose of assessments in these teams. There was a lot of confusion about whether a particular test was a common formative assessment, CFA, or just a baseline assessment. Why does this matter? Because if it's a CFA, the goal is to help students grow by identifying what they need to learn next. If it's a baseline, it's more about data reporting, figuring out where students are starting from. This distinction shapes how teams approach the data and plan interventions. If you think of it as a CFA, you're actively using the results to guide instruction and support. If it's just baseline data, it's more passive. So, teams need to be crystal clear on the purpose of their assessments to make the most of them. Speaking of interventions, one team was wrestling with how to handle the many standards they're supposed to teach. The solution? Pick an essential standard or skill to focus on, something that really matters for student success, and build from there. This could mean ranking units or standards by importance and tackling the most critical ones first. It's like triaging in a hospital. You focus on what will have the biggest impact. And here's a cool idea. Instead of trying to cover everything at once, some teams are adopting a vitamin approach. Think of it as daily doses of essential skills sprinkled throughout the year, rather than a big chunk all at once. This keeps skills fresh and builds mastery over time, rather than cramming and forgetting.
Excellent point. And I think sometimes when we're looking at teams, and what we saw here was there were teams that might have had good norms, and some of these teams actually had good chemistry. But as Coco pointed out, and as I have to, you know, point out and say right now, one of the biggest and most misused words on campus when I'm dealing with teams is CFA, the Common Formative Assessment. What we're seeing with these teams was a good effort to look at data. They were looking at results of assessments they have just given, but they were more benchmarks. And the reason why is because the teams weren't talking about how they were going to intervene. You see, a common formative assessment is something where we are not seeing where a kid is at a particular point in time. What we're doing is saying, have you learned everything in this one target that you need to move forward? And if you haven't, we should be able to identify where you're struggling. The common formative assessment, it really informs us whether you've got this material or not. And more importantly, it informs us, was the instruction or the lesson that we gave good enough, strong enough, clear enough so that students learned it? And if we're not doing that and then offering intervention for that student to catch up before we give a benchmark, then we're not calling it a common formative assessment. We're going to call it a benchmark. Coco also mentioned this idea that teams so many times get straight to the test, but they never identify essential standards and what those essential standards might be. And I think many times people are confused about that. Teams are confused about that, the difference between essential standards and maybe other standards. And when I'm working with teams, and one of the suggestions we had for these teams was, when you're meeting, if you're trying to teach everything, you're never going to teach anything. And when we talk about what are the values of essential standards, how do they look? How do they feel? How do they taste? How do they smell? The bottom line is, I like to tell folks, look, heaven forbid something happens to me tomorrow and I lose my leg. It's bad news, but I'm not going to lose my life. I can live without a leg. It's nice to have. But if you take that same incident and something happens to my heart, to my brain, to my lungs, I'm not going to be able to sustain life. And so, while it's nice to have legs, it's essential to have a heart. It's essential to have lungs, brain, liver, kidneys. And so I tell teams a lot, like, let's get down to the organs of what we teach. The 5-6 things that every student is going to need in this subject area to sustain life here at school and beyond. And with that analogy, it helps a lot of people to get focused, because If you're a jack of all trades, you're master of none. So let's narrow those down to the organs. And from those organs, let's pick which one's most important. Start there. Because at the heart of every subject, we know that if we have a strong heart, we're going to be okay. And so in just reflecting on that, many times, once you have a good team, things are going well. In this particular case, how do we make sure teams are focusing on the right things? That happens to be common formative assessments, happens to be interventions. But before you can even run, you have to walk. And it all starts with identifying essential standards. And so that was a good lesson. That was a good reflection that we had, because that was common along all these teams that day. Coco, what else we got for that?
Now, I want to throw a question your way. Have you ever thought about how the way a team physically sits or arranges itself can affect the quality of their collaboration? It's not just about comfort. It's about communication, trust, and openness. Next time you're in a meeting, notice where people are sitting and how that might be influencing the conversation. Another big takeaway is the power of pre-assessments. Before diving into teaching a unit, teams should assess where students are starting. This helps avoid wasting time reteaching what students already know and focuses energy on the gaps. It's like checking the map before you start a road trip. You want to know where you're starting from to plan the best route. And here's a practical tip. When breaking down standards, look for the hidden verbs. These are the skills students need to master before they can tackle the bigger tasks. For example, in math, before solving equations, students need to identify parts like variables, constants, and operators. If they can't do that, they're going to struggle with the whole equation. So, breaking down standards into these bite-sized learning targets helps teachers plan instruction and interventions more effectively. Finally, let's talk about leadership in these teams.
Wow. It's almost like she's in my head. What I love about this is we're going to look at leadership from a lens of not the principal, but the team lead. What is your job as a team lead? It's not to do all the work. All that's going to do is guarantee that you're going to get burnt out. As a team lead, you have to be able to balance between leading your team to victory and willing your team to victory. If you will your team to victory every time, you're going to be burnt out. You're going to be on injured reserve, and you're not going to have the energy to finish the game. So what kind of advice do you have for us here, Coco?
It's not just about doing the work yourself, but facilitating others to do it. A good team lead helps the group stay on task, encourages everyone to contribute, and guides the team through the process without taking over. Think of it like being a conductor of an orchestra. You're not playing every instrument, but you're making sure everyone plays in harmony. So, what can you take away from all this? First, clear norms and roles are game changers for team collaboration. Second, physical arrangement matters more than you might think. Third, clarity on assessment purpose drives better use of data. Fourth, focusing on essential standards and breaking them down into learning targets makes instruction more effective. And finally, strong facilitative leadership helps teams move from chaos to clarity. If you're part of a team struggling to get on the same page, try introducing a simple norm like everyone speaks for 30 seconds, then we vote. Or rearrange your meeting space into a circle, or clarify the purpose of your assessments. Small changes can lead to big results.
Wow. You hear that, everybody? Small changes can lead to big results. And that, I think, is a good way to end this podcast today. These small changes that we did at this one school, I'm sure they made a big difference. And I'm sure when I come back to that school that we're going to be able to see teams understand who they are. They understand how they do things. More important than anything, they understand why we're here. And we understand the game plan moving forward. With that being said, it's been a great episode. I thank you for being here. I'm going to have Coco take us out. See you next time. This has been On the Road with Coach Eddie and Coco. And remember, the mission of this podcast is to bring you onto the front lines to see how we are truly transforming education across the nation.
As always, it's a wonderful thing to have the privilege to use your brain and learn something new. I'm your host, Coco, and I'll see you next time.
And I'm your host, Coach Eddie, and this has truly been a great journey. You have been on the road with Coach Eddie and Coco. Remember, now that you can see it, you can do it. Let's get to work together. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you next time.